my God. Salsa, I realized that you were a horrible person a long time ago. I just didn't realize it was this bad.
Uh-huh.
I don't... Mm-hmm. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
Yay! James. And Jenna.
I'm back, y'all.
We're back. I don't have to do those fast fives anymore. I'm really excited. Also, Salsa, I hope you have some in your queue because I was begging people. I'm like, I don't know how many we got, but send them in.
I mean, I have some, but send them in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We have precious few.
Eric was trying to be helpful. He's like, well, I sent one in. Did you guys do one of mine recently? And I was like, point the first, yes, but point the second, that's not the point.
Yes.
Also, you didn't have the dinger machine.
I know, I was so sad. I cried.
I fucking forgot to put them in.
I knew you were going to. I knew it was going to happen. Don't.
I downloaded the sound.
Oh. I was going to download a dinger for my phone, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
So we both failed.
Yeah.
We're both failures.
This is what happens. I leave for 2 weeks, and this is what happens.
We managed to get a pretty decent podcast up both weeks.
Also that, yes.
This was none of our doing, James.
No.
So what are y'all drinking?
Oh my God. I went with an experiment that I haven't tried yet.
Oh.
I have cranberry juice and sour apple pucker.
You know, I think it's gonna go.
I think this scans.
I'm trying to clean out some of the, I've got a bunch of booze bottles that are like about that much left.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, well, tonight I'm drinking, and I've been putting off the sour apple pucker for like forever, because what the fuck? Why do you exist? I think it was Bryn. So I owe Bryn like maybe two shots worth of sour apple pucker.
She'll take you up on that.
I'll get her a little mini bottle. It's the same thing.
Cute!
Right? Anyway, so yeah, I've got sour apple pucker and cranberry juice. So,
all right. Science is happening.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh, there's layers.
Oh, this is lovely.
Yeah.
I thought it might be. I can kind of taste it in my mind's tongue.
Exactly. Me too.
Good. I went a little heavy on the cranberry because I was concerned, but I think the next time I might, if I do this again.
Well, just drink it halfway down and pour some in. Oh.
A little heavy on the cranberry is my U2 cover band.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this is lovely. It's got a nice little aftertaste of the sour versus the sour. Cranberry juice has a little sourness to it, and then obviously sour apple. It's like you get some sour, and then you get it down, and then you get a different sour, and then you get it down.
Sure.
It's lovely.
That's awesome.
Brilliant.
Since I'm not doing Convergence anymore, I don't really have an outlet for those almost empty bottles. Because that's what I used to do, is I used to bring to Convergence, I've got my Rolly satchel, and I would just take all of the bottles of almost empty booze and a 24-pack of Dr. Pepper, and that was what I drank at Convergence.
Yeah.
And I would kill 6 or 7 bottles. But now I don't have that. Now I just have bottles collecting.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know, it's
tragedy.
It's so terrible. I know.
I can't believe it. Like, right before quarantine, I bought all of that booze for us to be able to use. And then
all of this scotch that Cedius brought us is still sitting on my bar.
Those poor, lonely scotches.
I know, and I haven't touched them. I have not touched them because we
very sweet of you.
But they're sitting there taunting me.
Yeah.
Realistically, you should have some of them, Salsa.
Oh, no, I've got plenty of other scotch here. Don't worry about that.
There's
a lot of scotch here. That's not the problem. But the ones that we had not tasted together yet, those ones are still separate.
Yeah.
Those ones are still separate and untouched.
Very
Jenna's bottle of Kahlua is also sitting here on the bar.
There we go. I'm out of Kahlua right now, and now I'm just...
Oh, no.
I was going to do a booze run last weekend, and I didn't.
All right, anyway, maybe you are offering to help us with a project in the near future, and maybe that's a good way to repay you.
Hmm. Booze. Well, booze is always a good way to repay someone.
There is that, and I wouldn't decline it, but I also need to go out for cigarettes tomorrow, so unless you want to bring me both.
Maybe
I we'll don't talk. Think that's your jam, though. So
I don't think they'll take my ID.
No. Well, stop using the fake from 18 years ago, dumbass.
The one from 18 years ago would still be valid.
Yeah. Why did you have one, dumbass?
So there's that. I am drinking a cocktail that was made for me. It is a plum ginger old fashioned, made with real plum and real ginger.
Mm. Ooh.
And real old fashioned. I don't know how things work. So, some lawn chairs.
All right.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah? Describe
it's
it.
Like it's sort of like a fruity cloud of happiness in my mouth.
Fruity cloud of happiness is going to be. I'm not going to say memoirs, but it is going to be a biographical, perhaps novella.
Ooh,
Not autobiographical, but biographical of somebody.
Hmm. Like historical fiction. The life and times of Jenna Young.
No. I'm thinking biographical for somebody else. That is
Grover Cleveland.
Sure.
It's the first name that came to mind, and it's fun to say.
Okay.
Oh, Rutherford B. Hayes is way more fun.
James K. Polk is fun to say, but what a fucking jerk.
Also that. I am drinking Grand Teton Brewing's Parks IPA.
Okay.
It is beer that I got at Grand Teton, and it is Grand Teton IPA, and it's got the National Parks logo on it. So I was like, "This
is grand."
Is it what?
Is it grand?
It. We'll get there.
yes, but how's the beer?
Yeah, no, that's. Hold on, I haven't.
Oh my god, I'm so impatient. I want answers now.
It is got some good citrus to it, but it is a bit hoppier than I like it.
Oh,
which is not to be, which is no surprise. It is an IPA. IPAs tend to be hoppier than I enjoy them, so that is well in line with the IPA's MO. But yeah, it's got a good kind of citrusy poppiness to it. Jenna would hate it, but quite refreshing. I think I may have lost both of them. Alright. I think I did.
It's a salsa.
There y'all are.
Yay!
All right, what was the last thing you heard?
We heard that your IPA has a lot more hot penis than you would care for.
A lot more hot penis.
Yeah.
I was I was just starting to say, I tried a similar beer. It's a trail ale, India Trail Ale, called Trail Dog, which reminds me of Turbo Dog. And it's got like the bright grapefruit taste, mm-hmm. without like a lingering bitterness.
Interesting.
So it's got like the IPA hits you right away, and then it just has like a regular ale aftertaste. I, Jenna, you're gonna hate it, but
what?
I know a beer that you hate. It's a unicorn.
Unthinkable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what a surprise.
Truly, but I rather enjoyed it. Mm. Yeah.
All right. So what y'all been up to?
Recording without your ass.
I know, right? I'm sure they were. So let me see. You had Eric and Joe the first
both.
Week. For both. Okay.
Yeah, I needed. I wanted the balance of Eric's ability to actually pay attention and sometimes gauge whether or not things needed to go back onto some kind of rails.
And Joe's ability to be inappropriate.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah.
I thought it was a lovely balance.
As a project manager, Jenna knows how to apply people for their strengths.
What? Yes.
Which, You guys.
I really wished you could see that, listeners. That was amazing.
It was
really exciting. I had a conversation at work today with a different department about in interdepartmental or intercompany opportunity for advancement. And basically the guy really wants me, so it's not official yet, but it's very likely that I will be once again moving on up in the world.
It's a very PC way of saying an office affair.
It's COVID times. Nobody's affair anywhere. That's,
yeah. Jenna will not have a date like that.
No. Yeah. Not during the COVID times. Yeah. Be safe. Sometimes safe sex means something different. So anyway, no. So I'm taking, a couple days to mull it over, but I'm pretty excited about it. The guy told me that he definitely wants me, so
cool.
I've got another conversation with him tomorrow. I'm gonna ask him a bunch of questions, the concerns type stuff, but I'm not overly concerned about it. And basically this is oh, God. In the world of project management, you tend to advance from doing project management to program management, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This would be that leap for me.
Program? Okay.
Into more program stuff, not specifically owning my own thing. But I would still be managing portfolios and things like that. So, it is helping to build a specific team within the department. So, you know how I like building procedure.
Yeah.
I love that shit. And I was talking with him. He's like, so what's your preferred? This is my favorite answer to anything ever. He was like, so what's your preferred methodology as far as project management? And I said, whatever gets it done. Because that is, in fact, my preferred methodology. Some teams work better in an agile. Some teams are better waterfall. Some teams, whatever. it doesn't matter so long as it's what works for the team and gets the project done in the best, most efficient way possible. Mm-hmm. And he loved that answer. So... yeah, I feel like this might be a good fit all around.
That's actually one of the things the company I work for does is all of the EDI dev teams basically write their own manual as far as that. So, like, some teams are on Agile, some teams are on, like you said, various, you know, Azure and whatever, whatnot, and just, like, pick your... whatever works for you, like, that team gets to kind of decide what works for them. So.
Mm-hmm. Like, I tell people, I'm like, okay, like, this is what I need done. Like, you've both worked with me as far as Die Laughing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is basically my ideal project management. Mm-hmm. You have your things that you're responsible for. You let me know if there's issues. You give me status updates so that I'm not flying completely blind. But you guys basically go off and do your own thing. After, you know, like, James I work with more on requirements and stuff. Like, no, this is what we need the website to do. But, like, yeah, basically I'm just like, Salsa, go make a thing happen. And then you make a thing happen, and it's amazing. So, yeah. That's my preferred project management style.
Would this job have people that report to you that have people that report to them?
No. It is... So, here... Okay. Fun and laughter in the world of project management. A lot of times... There's a couple of different ways to do project management. There's silo project management. There's, I don't even remember all the terms. It's been way too long since I took my PMP test. But there's sometimes project management happens within the team. So, like, say you are dev team Zebra Stripe, you might. And especially in an agile world, you might pick somebody to be the scrum master and to kind of help move project stuff forward and to talk to the product owner and on all of this stuff. In generally more waterfall worlds, although not necessarily waterfall, like, you can, there's other methodologies that use this. I think ITIL is similar. you have basically somebody that is outside of the team. That is acting as a facilitator. Somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game other than to make sure that the project is completed on time and under budget. Mm-hmm. Right? Hmm. That's generally more of what I do. Okay. So I don't have people report to me, but I do have people that I am often in charge of making sure they get their stuff done. Does that make sense?
You're herding cats.
Yeah, it's like a hiring a consultant or whatever. It is much more on that, and that honestly, I prefer facilitation over direct management. Because then when the project's done, I can just fuck right off. Mm-hmm. It's great. So yeah, that's more of the style. I would not have anybody under me, and especially not for as we're building this particular team, because it's not just a project management team. It's more like business operations and some other, like, more administrative things that you need to go. So yeah, it's to say it's project management.
Okay.
Yes, but it is much more, like, focused on the portfolio and making sure that all of those things happen. There's some resource management. There's, you know, it's kind of a, okay, how do we do all of these things that developers and engineers aren't going to think about needing to have done? Mm-hmm. Right, basically. Like, how do we provide an environment and resources and all these other things that are necessary to get the job done that nobody else is thinking about? Mm-hmm. Very specifically, timeline projections, because Man, I love my developers.
No one. That was a face.
Developers have no sense of time. And here I am looking directly at my co-hosts.
Yeah.
How long is this going to take? Oh, about half an hour. Okay, but that's like direct coding. Have you taken into account QA? Have you taken into account reviewing requirements? Have you taken into account whether or not you have a bug? Have you taken into account whether or not there might be something that takes more priority, and so you have to put this off for a bit? Like, the actual effort for that specific chunk of coding might be half an hour, but it's going to take you 3 days to deliver this, and you don't even know. You don't even know? Tell me I'm wrong.
So
you're not.
45 minutes?
Damn it, man.
You're cute. You're adorable. Bless your heart.
Oh, wow. And speaking of insulting things that we say to each other.
What'd you do, James?
I did a Ville show.
Woo! Yay! That's a thing.
Yeah, I'm really loving Ville Interruptus.
It seems fun. Seems like a fun little let's just get in there and do something kind of a thing.
It's really freaking fun. And the thing that I like the most about it is being able to go after a number of different targets and just be able to pick exactly the right person for the right insult, or to be able to respond in all directions and that kind of stuff. Missionary Ville is always, you know, it's the favorite, but Cage Match is something people usually only get to play during amateur shows. I think I mentioned this during the last podcast recording. It's such a rare thing. And so I
purposefully
love it.
So
it's difficult to find the right opportunity for it, and you burn through a lot of material very fast.
It is a very brutal format, and you also don't want to overuse it. But yeah, it is definitely fun, but yeah, you really need to change your mindset.
Yeah,
a lot.
Well, and the other aspect of it, this last show was that it happened during pretty severely inclement weather, and we ended up dropping two people as a result of a power outage and an internet outage, and then everyone else was just sort of like on alert, and the show started, the announcer started at the moment that the tornado sirens started going off outside my window. And I was like, well, that's probably bad. Well,
I mean, this is an omen?
Yeah.
Somehow.
Right, yeah. My headstone is going to say he lived as he died in his room on the internet. So, yeah, this Ville segment is very quickly going to become a snuff film if that tornado hits. Yeah. Two people had already been swapped out, and I was like, I also had food poisoning that day and into that evening.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I'm not running from anything. Or a different... A different and possibly worse tornado is going to happen. We're going to stay put.
See, I'm picturing somebody just suddenly, like, their house getting hit and them getting, like, oh, shit! And then, like, losing connection and be like, holy shit, these elimination rounds are getting serious.
Yes.
Well, my favorite thing was, because of the internet outage, one of the married couples in Ville, now that there are multiples, one of the married couples in Ville had to decide which one of them was going to be on that night's show. And
who gets to be safe in the basement.
Right, that. But then it was like the conversation was had, and it was like, this is God's way of telling you that you need to get divorced. We were just like, as much as we're a supportive cast behind the scenes, I'm sure, you know, we're also just complete bastards. The show did come from somewhere. Yeah. So the moment that it was announced that, you know, Jeff couldn't be there because of an outage and that someone had to be replaced, like, I am fairly certain. I know that in the chat we were all swapping stuff back and forth, but I'm pretty sure that one or two things got said about it during the live show. Because we're monsters, and that it was fun. It felt like a good show. It felt good.
Yeah, I was going to watch it. But then the weather got shit out of it, and I was like, no.
And you had to go into your basement?
And then the sirens went on, and I was like, nah, I'm just going to pay attention to this stuff. So, sure. Yeah.
Raiderly was canning at that point, but I took the kids when the sirens went on. I took the kids and we came down to the basement here in the AON Labs, and I just put in My Neighbor Totoro, and the kids were happy.
Yeah,
you know, calmed them down because my daughter has anxiety issues, and so she was like, you know, freaking out a little bit. So it was like, here's a movie, watch this. And so by the time that was done, you know, it had all blown over. It blew over fairly quickly, but
it did.
But yeah, my wife was near the door to the basement in case anything should go sideways.
I don't think we're surprising you at all when we tell you that between the two of you, we would pick her.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Okay,
absolutely. Okay, I would pick her.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. As long as we're all in agreement. Yeah. But. Yeah, no, it felt like a really good show, and then I just got a shitload of stuff done this weekend, and started playing some new games.
Oh!
Yeah, including, I had never played Ark before.
Okay.
This sounds familiar. Why does this sound familiar?
It's pretty well known. It's been out for a little while. But it's, you are alive in like a post-apocalyptic neo-dinosaur future, taming dinosaurs and robo-dinosaurs and building shelter and surviving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
With a C or Ark with a K?
With a K. Okay. Yeah,
it's like Noah's, only not at all like Noah's.
Not at all like Noah's.
I wasn't sure. When you said Ark, I thought like the circle segment. You know,
sure.
Ark.
No, I thought that for you, and I was like, wait a minute, I've heard of this.
Yeah, but it's. Go ahead.
You go on Ark. I have another thing to bring up.
Sure, and just super quickly, my favorite part about it is the accidental comedy that occurs when people are suddenly surrounded by dinosaurs, or, you know, and everything is constantly pooping. Like, everything has a digestive tract. So conversations that we're having about crafting things and putting things away are often punctuated with just a soft, like, from outside.
Yeah, and it's most conversations with you end that way as well, James.
Yeah, so it's my kind of place, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do the dinosaurs have a fart cupboard?
That's what we're missing. That is what we're missing. Yep.
So Joe shared a video game with me over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody else has played and heard of this, but I had not. It's called Braid.
Yes.
Oh, whoa, yeah, talk about this. How I have not played it, but I know about it.
Hey, did you know that you can control time in Braid?
Oh, yes. I found that out pretty quick.
Yeah. Don't you remember Matt and I with that running joke forever?
Oh, shit. No, I don't, because I don't remember anything.
Oh, yeah, that was like that was fucking 8 years ago. Matt and I had a running joke every time that game came up. Hey, did you know you can control time in Braid?
I think I do vaguely remember this now.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't pay attention when you guys were talking, so...
Oh, I wouldn't have either, but...
Right, yeah. but, no, so Joe actually, he'd been talking about it for a while, and I'm like, I feel like I've heard of this, but, like, you know, I just never played it. So now I know where I heard of it from. from Joe. And,
I mean, mid-fucking sip. Oh, man.
But he was like, no, I think you'd love it, though, because the art design is incredible and the music is fantastic. And
yeah.
The storyline is really good.
Yeah.
And creepy. Oh, my God.
Yep.
That is creepy. Like, And so, yeah, like, we start doing this and go through, and you're reading, and I'm like, oh, that's not okay. And, like, just suddenly with every little book thing that he's reading on his way to the first door, I'm like, oh, there's a red flag. Oh, there's a red flag. Oh, look, another red flag. Boy, howdy, this is...
Yeah.
Ooh, wait, a princess, get out.
Wait till you get to the ending.
Well, but here's the thing, is that I am not a platformer.
Sure.
At all. I'm not. It's not my jam.
No, you're a first-person shooter, whereas platformers are... You're more of an FPS person.
Yes. Yes.
See, platformers are my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a gun, let me shoot something. yeah. And I like puzzle games, too. I don't mind, like... stuff where you're moving around and solving things. Mm-hmm. I can't platform. I was never good at Mario. I was okay at Sonic the Hedgehog though.
Mm.
Anyway, but I fall off of platforms. I've never gotten good at it. I've never gotten the hang of it. I will only do platformers if it's for like a Massacre marathon where we're trying to raise money for kids. But I made Joe play it instead.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
Continue to get the story, and, you know, we're working on puzzles and all of the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is gorgeous. It is a beautiful piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the watercolory background and, like, kind of impressionistic watercolor. But then you get slightly more detailed watercolor the closer to the foreground you get, and it shifts, and the way it shifts, and the sun is like constantly watercolor. It's so pretty. So pretty.
Yeah.
Aww. But yeah, that character is a creeper.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I did have a date like that once.
Is that the one?
I actually likened that character to somebody that I had been in a relationship with.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
If I remember correctly, the mechanic that's also mentioned earlier is the way that you solve puzzles. And it is a platformer at heart, but...
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's another additional mechanic that... Mm-hmm. often comes into play in solving puzzles, but it's also just a way for you to, you don't die, you don't have lives.
Yeah.
If you do something where you're going to die, you just reverse time and go back.
Hmm.
So,
almost like Prince of Persia, but can
infinitely.
Always go back.
Well, and some levels are more or less that. Some levels have different mechanics. Like, there's a couple levels where time moves forward every time you move left or right, and time moves backwards if you move left. So, like, you have to, like, move right across the screen to the ladder and then climb up the ladder, and then as you move left across the screen, time is going backwards now. And it's everything on the screen is now going backwards. And so, like, sometimes that happens, and sometimes you have to perform an action and then rewind and then let, like, the residual shadow do the action, so you can... It's weird.
Right.
There's also, like, sometimes you have certain elements, like keys or something, that don't move backwards in time as you move backwards in time. So, like, they'll just keep going, or if you grab this glowing green key, like, and then you go in reverse, the key comes with you. Or just things like that. So there's different, like, different objects will respond differently to the time reversal mechanic depending on, basically.
It really does fuck with your brain.
It's ridiculous. As a project manager, I love it.
No, it's not. Great.
Oh, well, let's mess with time. Yeah.
I started playing Sweater a bit more.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
It's free to play now. It has been for years. And I previously played it for a couple days. And so I kind of went in this time around and was like, it's been so long and I really didn't get that far. So I just, like, nuked everything and deleted everything and started completely fresh from the beginning. So, no, I'm having fun with it. It's, you know, I'm playing it. It is an MMORPG, but I'm playing it as a single player. Fuck everyone
this
else.
Is of incredible surprise to me.
I'm enjoying it. I read an article. Something came across my screen at one point that was like, "Hey, this game is still on, and is it worth still playing it?" And they're like, "Yeah, it is still fun." So I was like, "Oh, I'll give it a go."
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? Should we take a break?
Yes, let's.
I like
right,
we're that.
We're gonna take a break, and then we'll talk about what I've been up to.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
I think you're kind of Shakespearing a word together here.
You know who else did that?
Literary genius.
Shakespeare.
Right.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's why I used him as a verb, James.
Did you just Shakespeare in the most literal way possible?
Yes. Yeah. And then James told me what I just did.
How does it feel to be mansplained to?
I mean, I don't know. But I'd be more than happy to tell you. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna. Hey, Salsa.
Yeah.
Salsa.
Yeah.
Where the fuck have you been, and what the fuck have you been up to?
I have been doing all the fucking things. I am going to go through this chronologically because it's
Make
the only way we're going to get through this.
I'm not paying attention.
All right. So, I had 2 weeks off of work, so I took my family and went to Yellowstone and did a lot of things there and in between there and here.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Totally.
Did you go on a vacation?
I went on a big fucking vacation, like road trip vacation with my whole family, and I was stuck with my kids for 2 weeks in an RV. So pardon me if I take another drink.
I feel like that's fair.
Yes.
All right.
We have earned this
one. So, the epic Sterling family vacation. Day one. Mm-hmm. Day one, ding. fairly uneventful. We left on Saturday. And we just drove to my parents' house in South Dakota. And we borrowed my parents' RV. Which in the long run was the better choice, you know, because it was either go camping, and it did get pretty cold up there in the mountains at night. And trying to cram all of that into one car would have been hell. Or take the camper, and the camper would have been a rough time setting up, and we would have been able to leave it places and drive around, but in the end the RV was infinitely better. The kids were able to be occupied while we're driving. Sure. 12 hours, you know, from point A to point B. They could be in the back at the table doing crafts and stuff like that. So it was infinitely a better choice to do it this way. So we get to my parents and we borrow the RV. Day two is where things start to get really exciting. Day two is where we're driving through South Dakota and we stop at the Badlands. I'm already skipping ahead. We stopped at the Dignity Statue.
There's the Dignity Statue. I don't know about this. I don't travel.
The Dignity Statue is... So Chamberlain, South Dakota is right on the river, on the Missouri River. And on top of one of the bluffs, they have a 50-foot statue of a Native American woman holding a blanket.
Okay.
Unfurled behind her. Beautiful. Big, huge fucking statue. Nice. It was very, very nice. By all means, Google it. Take a look. So we saw the Dignity Statue. It was very, very cool. Then we continued driving, and we got to the Badlands. And holy fuck, the Badlands are beautiful. We're on day two of the trip, and we're already just taking pictures everywhere, and are just like speechless. And everything was gorgeous, and it was. A lot to take in. I've been to the Badlands before, but I was like 12, so you know, I've forgotten most of it, and I also am coming at it with more of an adult's eyes, and so I'm able to just accept beauty for beauty's sake as opposed to needing to do something. So I'm driving the whole trip, by the way, because I've got my parents' RV and it's my parents and I'm responsible for it.
Yeah.
We drove through the Badlands. Like I said, just fucking gorgeous. We took so many goddamn pictures. We got out and climbed up on top of some of the rock formations, and it was really, really cool. Last time I was in the Badlands, we had climbed up on top of one of these rocky features, you know, and my parents had yelled, "Hey, it's time to go, get in the car, we gotta go." So I started running down, you know, one of these things, and what happens when you get to the bottom is not your momentum changes direction to horizontal, your momentum continues down. So 12-year-old me gets to the bottom and just face plants straight into the dirt. And when I came up, I discovered that I had landed, you're going to love this, on a cactus.
Yeah.
On my crotch.
Oh my God.
That seems right.
So we had a lot. So we're in the car driving along while I'm in the back seat with my pants down as we are removing cactus spines from my crotch.
Yeah.
Flash forward to a couple weeks ago. I took a picture of a fucking cactus, but I said, "Not this time. Not this time." I defeated my nemesis that time around. Badlands were great. We got out of the Badlands and just like we're leaving the Badlands, we just get outside of the gate, the little park ranger gate, and there's a prairie dog village next to us. And we're looking at the prairie dog village, and we're like, "Oh, look, it's a prairie dog village. I wonder if we'll see any prairie dogs." And the thing is you get so focused looking for the little prairie dogs that we completely missed at first the big fucking bison sitting in the middle of it. But it was just a couple hundred yards away from the car with a bison sitting there in the middle of the prairie dog field. So that was the kid's first view of a bison right there. They lost their head and we were like, we're going to see a lot more of these. So that was kind of day two was mostly in the Badlands, and then we kind of got out to, my cousin lives in Rapid City, South Dakota, which is near the Black Hills. So night two, that's where we parked the parked the RV in his yard, and you know, plugged into his garage outlet. And that's where we spent the night. From his house is up on top of a hill, and from his house, way in the distance, if you like knew exactly where to look, you could see like a tiny little, I'm not even joking, like a millimeter little strip of like lighter color in the mountains in the distance, and that's Abe Lincoln's head.
Oh.
Like, you can see Mount Rushmore from his house.
Yeah. Wow.
And what's even better is my cousin, he's in the military. And he's like, at one point we actually did maneuvers, and he was like, I've got a picture of me sitting on top of George Washington's head. And he's like, I was like, please, please tell me that you said I can see my house from here. And he was like, actually I did.
Good.
Yep. So the next day, we didn't get into the Black Hills because the Sturgis Bike Rally was going on at that time, and we were like, fuck that. So we just kind of avoided all of that. And that's day three, we drove. Day three was a trek. Day three, we drove all the way from Rapid City to Yellowstone. And so we kind of skirted along the northern edge of the Black Hills there, and then we got into Wyoming, and we drove and drove and drove until we got to the Bighorn Mountains in the middle of Wyoming. Drove through the Bighorns. That's where we started having trouble with the RV.
Oh, no.
Because it was... Like, the RV was fine. It was just... I wasn't used to driving it yet, and so I was probably not as gentle with it. By the end of the trip, like, I was able to go up and down mountains, not a problem, but at this point I was still like, it was still new enough that like going up and up the mountains at like 8% incline, up and up and up and up and up and like a few thousand, you know, a couple thousand feet of elevation in an hour, you know, was poor little guy. It was having a hard go of it. But we finally got through the Bighorns. Bighorns, fucking beautiful. So amazingly pretty. And also terrifying to drive in. Especially if you're driving an RV that you're not familiar with.
Sure.
Because some of those cliffs are you're just hanging off the side of a mountain. And
it's pretty thrilling.
Yeah. But it was absolutely beautiful. And then, like I said, we got to the other side, and we drove across the second half of Wyoming until we finally got to Yellowstone. We get inside Yellowstone. It's starting to get dark. We're getting into twilight area of at this point in time, because that's like a 12-hour drive there. Yeah. But we have a good time. We get into Yellowstone. We get in. We're there. And... when I was 12, like I said, we took this trip a long time ago. When I was 12, we had gotten maybe a quarter of a mile into the park, and come around a bend, and there were bison walking in the road. And so I was like, this is not going to happen this time. That's not, like, that was pretty cool, but it's not going to be just like that. And it wasn't. You know, we didn't have bison walking in the road within the first quarter mile. But within half an hour of entering the park, there were a bunch of cars stopped at the side of the road, and we were like, what's everybody looking at? And they're like, there's a grizzly bear in the valley. We're like, oh shit. So we're getting out of the car and we're taking pictures. Ooh. And we're looking. Yeah, a grizzly down in the valley. Pretty far away. I had my camera on my phone zoomed in at pretty much as far as it will go, and it's a dot. Like, I know it's there. It's a thing. I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, that is the bear right there. But it's a dot, you know. There he is.
A fuzzy dot.
Yeah, it's a fuzzy dot, but it is a grizzly bear. And so we get a little bit further in, and there's some elk, you know, over here in the valley. It was absolutely gorgeous. Like, we just started seeing animals everywhere. It was pretty cool. And so we entered into the East Gate, and we were staying near the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. The stretch of road between those two points is an area called Hayden Valley. Mm-hmm. Hayden Valley is one of the two, like, major hot spots for bison. And holy shit, did we see bison. Like, we come around a corner and there's fucking bison standing right next to the road. I saw bison for 7 days straight, every single day. We driving around, there's bison there. And at a certain point, I was starting to wonder if I would ever, like, start to get to the point where I was like, get out of the way, bison. I have, you know, is it? Never. Every single time we drove by a bison, it was just like, oh, there's a fucking bison. It's really fucking cool. Because they're huge.
Bear cow.
They're huge. And they're so muscular. So fucking muscular. Like, this is a thing that would just, like, flick its finger and you would go flying 500 feet. It just muscles on muscles. And the grunts that they put out, so like, like, when a bison grunts, you're just like, okay, I'm
all right.
It's cool.
Pretty sure I had a date like that once.
Yeah. But it, oh, no, the bison, we saw a lot of bison, and every single time it was just like, ooh, bison. And the kids are losing their minds. Kids are absolutely losing their minds at this point in time.
Right.
Yeah.
We drive past, we drive past a spot that we actually went to on the next day. We actually stopped there. It's called the Mud Volcano area. It's one of the sulfur mud pits.
Mm.
And it is where I started, because I am a father, and this is my right and my duty as a father to say this, but every single time we drove past the Mud Volcano, I turned to the kids and said, "Smells good, doesn't it?"
Oh my god.
To which they protested loudly every time. Every single time.
Oh,
no, it smells terrible.
That's amazing.
So like the next day we stopped at the Mud Volcano, and the Mud Volcano area is where Dragon's Mouth is. Dragon's Mouth is a cave that steam is just pouring out of always, but the water kind of rushing and gurgling sounds like a dragon, like, you know, the, like, it is really fucking cool.
Rad.
Yeah. And that area, like I said, a lot of mud pits in that area. That also has Black Dragon's Cauldron in it. And Black Dragon's Cauldron is this mud pit that's kind of right next to an alkali lake. And it's a relatively young mud pot. It first showed up in 1949.
Oh.
So it's only like 70 years old. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Geology-wise, that's...
Yeah, it's a relatively young one. But it's just this mud pit that's constantly boiling and churning, and it smelled great.
sure.
Yeah, no, it was just antagonizing the kids was so good. So many fucking mud pits and bison. Yeah, the mud cave, the sour lake is the name of the alkali lake that Black Dragon's cauldron is next to. And then there's Churning Cauldron. And Churning Cauldron fucking delivered. Churning Cauldron is just constantly looks like if you had a hot tub's jets turned up all the way and then put 10 more hot tubs worth of jets in it. Constantly just roiling crazy, and like where the walkway is, like the way the wind was blowing, you had to walk right through its mist. So like you're walking along and you're just like hot mist is covering you in this sulfur smell. It was so cool. The kids hated it. We saw more elk, we saw some more animals. My daughter was given, for her birthday, she was given binoculars. And my parents had left in the RV two little, like, laminated pamphlets of the birds of Yellowstone and the flowers of Yellowstone.
Aww.
So she had a fantastic time, like, bird watching and stuff like that. They covered the inside of the RV walls with, like, post-it notes of all their drawings of all of the animals and things that they saw. It was adorable.
Aww.
Precious.
They had a ridiculously good time. We saw another elk when we stopped for lunch. And then we went to an area called West Thumb. And West Thumb is, Yellowstone Lake, Yellowstone is obviously, like, you know, inside a huge volcano. West Thumb is like the western tip of the lake. Kind of comes out to a round area where a small volcanic explosion had happened. And so you've like got the lake over here, and then just like just where the thumb is sticking out, there's kind of a round, like a cartoon character had hit their thumb with a hammer, and the thumb was kind of huge and big.
Oh, sure.
So that's kind of what it looked like. And that's called West Thumb, and that's a big, a lot of geyser activity there. Beautiful pools. These pools of water, they're lined with sulfur on the inside, so they're yellow. The rock is yellow on the inside. But the
wait, question: is it a yellow stone?
But the cool thing is the water itself, because of the bacteria and stuff in the water is very blue. And so the yellow walls of the caves through the blue water makes everything look teal or turquoise.
Mm-hmm.
So just beautiful, gorgeous pools. Like, some of these pools, if I was rich, I would recreate these pools in my backyard. Not the, like, acidic to the point of battery acid and flay your flesh from your bones, but aesthetically, like, what was going on, just because they're gorgeous, gorgeous pools and little bubbly things. And it's, these geysers are right on the edge of the lake, to the point that there was a couple that were in the lake, where just like you've got the lake, and then there's like just sticking out about 5 feet from the edge of the water, there's just a little like cone sticking up in the water.
Okay.
Very cool.
Huh.
Very, very cool. So that was day two. Was we went to the mud volcanoes and the thumb, we had to drive past Hayden Valley both ways, and so we saw so many more bison. And then on the way home, we stopped at the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone, which is just ridiculously gorgeous. Because the kind of the river that we were driving beside all the way through Hayden Valley, that was like, we stopped and waded in it a couple times. That was like, it's really nice little, it's a little happy little river. Like, 20 miles up the road, like, suddenly the ground disappears and there's a huge waterfall, and that way you're in a fucking canyon.
No, this is not, like, the Grand Canyon, right?
This is the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone.
Of Yellowstone, okay.
Yeah. Now we're getting on to day. What? I don't even know what day this is.
Anymore. Day 3.
Day 3. Ding. Day 4. Something like that. that's the day we went and saw Old Faithful.
Oh.
We went and saw Old Faithful. We got there. We got there and we're like, hurry the fuck up, kids. Because we got there and like less than 5 minutes later it erupted. But one of the cool things is if you download the Yellowstone app, it has geyser predictions. So you can kind of see when they're going to go off. And so like I'm looking at my phone going, it's going to fucking go. And if we're not there, we're going to have to wait here for an hour and a half. And I don't want to do that. So let's...
And it's easier to make the kids hurry up a little than it is to get them to wait for an hour and a half.
It's not so easy getting my kids to hurry the fuck up. But anyway, but no, so we got there and we saw Yellowstone go and it was pretty cool. But the really cool thing was like right after Yellowstone went off, or
Old
Faithful went off, within half an hour, the next geyser up the line, Castle Geyser, was predicted to go.
Oh, right.
So we like walked up there and we waited less than half an hour and Castle Geyser went off. And Castle Geyser it's got a big, huge cone, very fragile, cone. But when it goes off, it erupts for half an hour.
Jeez.
Wow.
So it's just. It's shooting water for half an hour. And after half an hour of erupting water, it enters its, quote, loud steaming phase. And that goes, that goes for another 40 minutes. So you've got this water eruption happening, and then it starts, and then, like, you could see it change, because suddenly instead of being water, it just became this, like... And it just started spewing steam out.
Tell me that this happened on Friday so that you and I were having identical experiences. I had food poisoning on Friday.
Oh, no, this wasn't on Friday. This would have been Monday, I think.
Oh, all right.
I mean...
But anyway.
Okay. Just let's also tell its story.
No. By all means, interrupt all you want. But Castle Geyser was really, really fucking cool. We were there for a long time. And it was in this area that we wandered around a lot, and we saw a bunch of different geysers. There's a lot of activity in this area. I think this is the area that had the geyser called Fearless Geyser.
Oh yeah,
which I decided was the one that I wanted. but a lot of really cool activity. This was also on the drive back. So I'm getting ahead of myself. We also saw the Grand Prismatic Pool at this point.
Oh whoa yeah.
Which was frustrating as fuck because. Grand Prismatic Pool. It's huge, by the way. Like it's the length
of
a
grand?
Fucking. It's grand. It's the length of
was
a fucking football
prismatic?
Field. It's a huge fucking thing, and they've got a boardwalk that goes along it for maybe a quarter of its circumference. You know, this a good 100 yards of boardwalk right alongside the shore of Grand Prismatic Pool.
Mm-hmm.
But the line. Was backed up for 100 yards because people would get to the point where the boardwalk meets the pool, and that's where they would stop and take all their pictures and stand there and take a bunch of pictures and get, hey, group pictures, look at, selfies and stuff like that. And it's just like, there's 100 yards of boardwalk along the shore of this thing, and it was empty because people took all of their pictures.
Oh my god!
Right there at the spot where the boardwalk meets it, and then they get done, and now they're done, and they just walk away. And it's like if all of you would just shift, we wouldn't have a line at all.
Oh,
and
god.
And the thing is it baffled me because we had people in line in front of us complaining about this. And then they got to the front of the line and they stopped.
Yeah.
And it was like, you fucking idiots! Why are we doing... So, like, Raiderly and I got to the front of the line and we kept walking. And we got to halfway down this boardwalk and we were all by ourselves taking our pictures.
The people immediately behind you stopped at the beginning of the boardwalk.
What is the fuck is going on here? It was so dumb. It was so dumb. People
just because something is human made, just because something is human nature doesn't mean that it's good.
So anyway, Grand Prismatic Pool, absolutely gorgeous. We're driving back from Grand Prismatic Pool, and we go back through, you know, the Hayden Valley area again. And there was, like I said, there's this river that kind of runs alongside the road that, you know, a lot of people were fishing in, you know, wading in, stuff like that, having a grand old time. So I'm driving back, and up ahead I see a bison in the road walking across the road. I was like, okay, you know, this happens all the fucking time. Everybody stops, they take their pictures, whatever. You just wait until he gets out of your way. So the bison walks across the road and you know, disappears from view, and I don't see him. I was like, okay, so I drive on. I get close to where he is, and this bison had walked down to the river to get a drink. And where he had walked down to the river was about 15 feet away from a couple guys fishing.
Oh my god.
Huh.
And now the bison is between them and their truck.
Aww.
So I drive...
I don't know what they were fishing for, but they caught crappies.
But so I drive by, and both of the guys are just like very calmly reeling in their line, and you're just like, we are not making any sudden movements. We are just going to reel in our, just going to walk in a circle around this guy, and just we're gonna go now.
Plenty of space. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a close encounter.
The bison's like, hey guys, what are you doing? Hey guys, want to hang out?
No, and the bison ignored them. The bison just wanted some water. But like, I took a picture because these guys are just like right next to the fucking bison. Like it's. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh wow! Shit!
And the bison just like, I'm just getting a drink, and this guy is just like, I am reeling in my catch now.
Right.
That's bullfighting distance.
Yep. Speaking of fish, by the way, the first night we got there, it was kind of raining.
Yeah.
And we spend the night. We wake up the next morning. We're outside, and the camp space next to us, one of them comes up to me and goes, "Hey, do you like fish?" And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. And they were like, okay, because we caught some fish yesterday, and we were going to have it for dinner, but then it rained, and so we couldn't cook it because they're in a tent. It rained, so we decided, and we were going to have it for breakfast, but my parents had to leave already, so they've already left, so we have more food than we can eat. So do you want some fish? And we're like, sure. And so they gave us 4 trout fillets.
Ooh.
And that's what we had for dinner that night.
Well, all right.
It was pretty good. not going to complain about that.
Wait, so you had this without wild rice?
Well, of course we had it without wild rice. We went to the store and we bought some lemons, and we like cooked it on the lemon slices and stuff like that.
So you went to the store to get lemons, and you didn't get any wild rice.
Of course we didn't get wild rice. We like food. Anyway. I don't even know where we are anymore at this point. The next day we went to...
South Dakota.
The next day we went to the Norris Geyser Basin.
Oh, the dancers?
Norris Geyser is where Steamboat Geyser is.
Okay.
And we missed Steamboat.
It's the one that goes...
We missed Steamboat by 3 days. Steamboat goes off between 4 days and 50 years. We missed it by 3 days.
Oh. It's possible.
It is possible it will take another 50 years for it to go off. We missed it by 3 days. So, but we saw it. Norris Geyser actually has two kind of basins. There's like the northern basin, yeah, which is called the porcelain basin, and then the southern like loop. The southern loop has Steamboat, and so my son and I, we took that loop past Steamboat and past a bunch of other ones, past some really fun little geysers and funerals. Mm-hmm. And my wife and my daughter went to the porcelain basin up north, and we just took a ton of pictures and we shared when we got back. It was gorgeous. At this point, we were just like, we had seen so many fucking geysers and stuff like that. They all are starting to run together, but it was really, really amazingly pretty. And my kids, bless their hearts, were never like bored with geysers. You know, I was kind of worried because at 5 years old, you know, after you've seen a 27 of them, you know, are you going to start getting no? They were right on top of it the whole time.
Nice.
Next day, we drove up to, in the north part of the park, is the other valley with a lot of bison activity. This is Lamar Valley. Uh-huh. So we drove up to Lamar Valley, and Lamar Valley, mm-hmm, is bigger than Hayden Valley. It's huge, and the scenery is gorgeous. But it is also, we saw the bison there were thick. We found ourselves right
dummy
in
thick?
The we found ourselves right in the fucking middle of the herd during the rut, and so so like the dudes were like doing the courting thing and like trying to you know chase after the girls, and they were doing their grunt thing all over the place, and they're kind of getting head buddy with each other just on the road and all around us. It took us a while to get through Lamar because they're just, the bison were so, they're just like flies, so fucking many bison. It was amazing. It was so fucking amazing. Like I said, I never got tired of the bison. It was just so on the way back, we stopped at the Petrified Tree. Petrified Tree was really fucking cool.
I was going to make a comment about it being scared, but that seems stupid, so I didn't. You're welcome.
Fair enough. Huh. No, it's a fucking, as advertised, it's a petrified tree. We had that was a no RV area, and so we had to walk about a quarter of a mile to get there. But worth it in my opinion.
Yeah.
Then we went to the Roosevelt Arch, which is the north entrance to Yellowstone. Uh-huh. It's this big archway with, you know, some, like, it's got a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, for the benefit and enjoyment of the people, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of the like, ceremonial entrance to Yellowstone. More bison, so many bison. and then we saw Mammoth Terrace. Mammoth Terrace, the famous.
Okay.
It's kind of a waterfall type thing. It's really hard to describe. It's terraces of
mammoths.
You got to look at pictures of it. It's huge. Like, I didn't realize how big it was. It it's called Mammoth Terraces, but even you look at the pictures and you're like, okay, it's big. And then you're there and you're like, holy fuck, this thing is fucking huge. Like, mm-hmm, but absolutely gorgeous. So that was the last day in Yellowstone. The next day we drove, mm-hmm, down to the Grand Tetons. We spent a few days in the Grand Tetons. Grand Tetons was a lot more relaxed. There's not as many like touristy things in Grand Tetons. It's just you kind of, there's the mountains and they're really fucking cool. Like, this is like the tip of the Rockies, so we're getting into some fucking serious mountains here. But yeah, there was a lake up in the mountains, Lake Jackson, that we went swimming in both days that we were there, and it was a lake, and the view was the Grand Tetons. It was so gorgeous. Holy fucking! It was so. I can't even word pretty. How pretty it was. These mountains are just beautiful and ridiculously beautiful. And reaching the end here, we started heading for home. On the way home, we jumped into Wyoming, and we stopped at the Little Bighorn Battlefield, which is where Custer's last stand was.
Yeah.
And stopped at the memorial there. It used to be just a memorial to Custer and, like, the massacre that killed Custer and all of the, like, U.S. soldiers that were killed there. But back in, like, the 90s, I want to say, they changed it from Custer's battlefield to, like, telling both sides of the story. You know?
Sure.
So they still have the monument to the American soldiers, but then, like, slightly removed, they have a monument to the Native Americans who lost their lives there and kind of told their half of the story. So you kind of see both halves a little bit. It was very nicely done. In fact, the monument on the Native American side is very neatly, like, it's circular, and there's an entrance on the north side and entrance on the south side, and then there is a gate on the western side that you can't walk through, but if you're standing in the center of the circle and you look through that gate, it looks straight up to the Custer Memorial.
Okay.
And so it ties that back in together really nicely. It's very, very, okay, very pretty. It's in the middle of nowhere, which is the only problem. But other than that, it was a pretty cool sight. And then we stopped at Devil's Tower briefly before getting back to Rapid City. I've been to Devil's Tower before, and even I forgot how big it is.
It's pretty fucking big, yeah.
It's and even when you're driving up to it, and you're like, oh, that's big. It's pretty big. And then you get to, like, the parking lot, and you're like, oh, no, that's big.
That's
but
big.
Then you, like, walk up the trail to its base, and those, like, little rock fall at its base are taller than you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, this is big.
I underestimated the bigness of this big thing.
But, like, even if you get, you know, a quarter mile away from it, it looks deceptively small. It's not until you're right up to it that you just go, fuck me, this is big. Blew my kids' minds with that one. They absolutely...
Oh, yeah?
And we had told them about Devil's Tower previously. We're like, we're going to go see this thing. It's going to be cool. So they were aware of it. And then, completely by happenstance, one of the kids' shows that they watch called Odd Squad, there was an episode where Odd Squad had, where Devil's Tower was like a warehouse of, like, exceptionally odd things. So, like, Odd Squad, like, Devil's Tower was one of their bases. So they're like, oh my god, it's Devil's Tower! And so when we got there, like, we're at the base of Devil's Tower, and we're, like, running around these huge boulders, and they're like, I wonder if that's the entrance to Odd Squad. I wonder if that's the entrance to Odd Squad.
That's adorable.
It was so
cute. That is adorable.
That is
so cute.
Super adorable.
oh, man. And then we got back to my cousin's house in Rapid City, and the next day we drove back to my parents' house, and then we drove back here. And it was Wednesday, I want to say, when we got back. And then for the next, you know, few days until I had to go back to work this morning, I played Sweater.
Nice.
And that was my vacation.
Yay!
It was pretty fucking cool. And I have things. I have things.
Oh.
What?
Yes, I'm always thinking of AON, you guys. Of course I am.
Aww.
I have for everybody, for all of AON, I have these lovely, beautiful stone shot glasses.
Ooh. Oh, that
nice.
Look at that bison.
Yeah, these things are absolutely gorgeous.
I'll so that a bison may cross your road.
I will include a picture of these in the show notes. So I have one for each of you. That is from Yellowstone. And from the Grand Tetons, I have koozies!
Cute.
Ooh.
It says...
Wow.
But then it shows... It has a map of all of the peaks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Of Grand Teton.
Oh, neat.
Also, I forgot the best part. So, my wife...
Okay.
Made the mistake of saying this out loud. she was reading. She was reading about the Grand Tetons, and she discovered that the Grand Tetons were given their name by French fur traders who were moving through the area, and the French fur traders, you know, saw these peaks, and they called it. And Chip is going to correct my pronunciation here, but it was the Trois Tetons, which is the three breasts. So now I know that Teton means boo.
I fucking told you.
And grand means big. So for the rest of the trip, I called them the big titties. And my My wife hated me because the rest of the trip, I was like, okay, you know, we're in Yellowstone and we're going to drive now to the big titties. And she was like, why did I say that to you?
Yep.
Inserting real quick, Joe and I watched Total Recall the other night.
Oh, yeah.
So if you remember Total Recall, and they have like the ladies' hotel, the place
three
of
the nipples,
the three-breasted woman.
Yep.
So as soon as you said three titties, I was like,
yep.
So, but the three mountains are Grand Teton, Middle Teton, and South Teton. So for the rest of the trip, I called them the Big Tit, the Middle Tit, and the South Tit.
Yeah.
And my wife loved me for it.
Yes. Yes. Undoubtedly.
So anyway, I have koozies for you, and I have shot glasses for you. And I also, someday, when we finally are no longer in quarantine and you can come back to the AON laboratories, my cousin's wife in Rapid City used to work at a distillery. She used to work at Black Hills Contraband in Rapid City, South Dakota. And okay. I was looking at their website, and I was like, oh, there's a couple flavors here that look really interesting when we're going through town. Could I please ask you to go into town and get a couple bottles for me, and we'll pay you back? And she was like, oh, we've got so many bottles in my house, have them.
Oh.
Okay.
I have a bottle of Black Hills Contraband Gingerbread.
Oh.
I have Black Hills Contraband Root Beer.
Ooh.
Dang.
I have Black Hills Contraband Holiday Cheer.
Nice.
I have Black Hills Contraband Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Black Hills Contraband Southern Orange.
Oh.
This we already drank all of the original and royal. But I still have these five flavors here, and someday when you can come back here, we've not only got the scotch, but we also have all of this Black Hills booze that we
hot
drink.
Oh,
damn.
My God.
So, yeah.
Somebody fix COVID, because I need to go drinking.
And then you can drink them out of your shot glasses.
Yeah. I have a follow-up question about your vacation, and that is Wall Drug doing a curbside delivery service where someone comes out and describes a bunch of mildly interesting stuff that you don't want to buy?
Do you have 4 days? Here's the thing. I've been to Wall Drug a few times, and I've not seen all of it.
Yeah.
No.
It's giant, and I absolutely would have stopped if it wasn't COVID-y, just so my kids could experience
it. It is a city. Yeah.
My older sister worked in Wall.
Oh wow!
A while. Not at Wall Drug, but she had a summer job in Wall, South Dakota. And so we visited her a few times. And yeah, it's just that place is...
It's a megalith.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah.
Otherwise we absolutely would have stopped there. But
I bought a mortar and pestle when I was there.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to say about your trip?
So many things. There are things that I have forgotten about. Like, there's so many things just... I bought a kayak for my wife's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And the kayak arrived yesterday, and it wasn't a kayak. It was two packages of COVID masks because I got scammed.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I made the purchase through... PayPal, so I'm disputing the charges now, but yeah, I got fucking scammed.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, I'm really pissed off about that, but...
Well, yeah. If this were the Awfulcopter, as you were telling us, regaling us with your trip, I would have asked you what the first thing you ate was, and then the second thing, and then the third thing, but I do feel a little remiss. I do need to know, what was your favorite thing that you ate?
During our vacation?
Yeah, during the whole thing. Well, was it the trout fillets?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, we did not cook. We weren't ready for them. And so we did not really have the what we should have had.
The wild rice. Properly. Yeah.
That improved it, but my sister-in-law has a recipe for lasagna made in a Dutch oven.
Ooh,
that is just the most, sorry, Jenna, the most cheesiest, like, amazing.
Why are you sorry? Cheese is fantastic.
But it is a Dutch oven full of pasta and cheese, and it is... Oh, so good. So good. And
Dutch oven lasagna is my guar cover band.
Like, we bought a Dutch oven for this trip so we could make the lasagna.
That's fucking awesome.
Because usually when we go camping, my sister-in-law has the Dutch oven and she makes the lasagna. But this time, she wasn't going with us. So we're like, we need a Dutch oven. And then, so we bought a Dutch oven. And it was only after we got the Dutch oven that I found our Dutch oven that we had forgotten that we owned.
Yeah, well.
So now we have two Dutch ovens, but whatever. But yeah, no,
you can bake
Dutch
bread.
Oven lasagna. But we brought all of our own food. You know, we didn't buy anything anywhere. So yeah, we.
But
we
the lasagna. Of,
yeah, the lasagna is fantastic. But yeah.
Good
time. I am forgetting. Like, so much happened in the last 2 weeks. I can't even tell you all of the things. Cause I skipped over a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know this was already 40 minutes of just me talking. But yeah. It was a long vacation.
It didn't feel like 40 minutes.
No, it felt much longer than...
Okay,
but we got some good food poisoning diarrhea jokes in there.
Good
there
ones,
were.
Or
they made a callback. That was great.
Yeah, there was that.
Fair.
Yeah.
Oh, also we got to hear about Salsa's amazing trip. So.
Oh well, I mean, of course, there's that. Yeah.
There's that.
We're glad that you had a good trip.
Yes,
but it was nice to have you back.
There was just. Like I said, I can't stress enough how much everybody needs to go visit Yellowstone at some point in their life.
Before it's an oil well.
Well, a lot of derricks in Wyoming as we were driving along there, but seriously, like...
Were you just looking at the phone book, or...?
I said, this is the second time I've been there, and it was so much better this time. Because I was older and I more of an understanding and appreciation for everything.
When I was going,
I, it was so beautiful. And my cousin on the way back, he mentioned that that he's never been to Yellowstone, and I was like, what? Why not?
Aww.
Seriously, why? Like,
I haven't been yet. Yeah,
it was my wife's first time too, and just left her absolutely speechless. So and like I said, the Grand Tetons is just like on the southern edge of Yellowstone. It's not even like you need to travel further. Like it's right there. You get from Yellowstone to the Big Titties. It's right there, and they're beautiful. And at the same time, like you stop at like the glacier overlooks. To look at the glacier, and you can see what climate change has done to the glacier, and like what it used to look like, and where it is now, and it's so depressing. And we got to have those conversations with my kids about you know, global warming and conservation and you know, trying to make sure that we continue to fight for the natural spaces in this world and the parks and you know, they watched some documentaries before we left about like Teddy Roosevelt and founding the parks and stuff like that. And so they like they were able to put a lot of that information together and kind of go, oh, in this video I saw this thing about, you know, this is why he did this, and it was like, absolutely, that is why Teddy Roosevelt made the national park system, is so we had these places where we could see bison and elk and bear and, you know, things like that. And it was really, really special.
Did you stop at the Corn Palace in Mitchell?
No.
Because it sucks? I mean,
it does, but I also don't think about it.
Yeah, that's how much it sucks.
But the thing is it is kind of cool for about 2 minutes.
Yes, there. Okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
I also
you look at the outside, you go, wow, that's made of
that's
corn.
That's the thing. But I mean, I went to the Corn Palace for things. That's where I saw the circus every year. The circus was in the Corn Palace every year. And
That would be fucking awesome.
And the state basketball tournament was in the Corn Palace a couple times. And
prom was at the Corn Palace. And the...
But it's to me, it's just that it's that thing. You know, I always forget that it's like a thing. So
it's not, or it shouldn't be.
It's, but I mean, just like the giant ball of string, or the biggest ball of, you know, rubber band, or the giant babe in Bemidji. Like, it's one of those things. You know, you go to Bemidji, you drive through Bemidji, and you see the giant Paul Bunyan, and you stop, and you go, oh, and you take a picture, and then 5 minutes later, you're on your way. It's one of those.
Sure.
Kind of. Sometime I'll tell you my Corn Palace experience over a beer and another beer.
I mean, you stop projecting your damage onto me, but I think I've talked long enough. Should I take a break?
Let's take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Don't blow your load too soon, James.
Yeah, right? Thank you.
Why not twice?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for Fest 5!
It's Fest 5.
Yeah. See how I neatly circumvented whatever James was about to do there?
Hold on. See, I missed you, Salsa.
All
right. Today's Fest 5 comes to us from Heather Zastara.
Zastara.
Zastara. Zastara.
Zastara.
Zastara. Zastara. Oh my God, I'm so excited to hear that later.
Oh shit.
What did Heather do to us?
There is no introduction. I'm going to go straight into this, and you'll quickly find out why my reaction.
Okay.
Question number one.
I'm so excited!
Dennis or Drew?
Oh my god. Oh shit. Somebody's going to start a fight.
I've got adventure stories about both of them.
I know. I love them both so much. Mm-hmm. In very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to go Drew. Because out at Fest, I've been... like the first weekend last year, I was getting super dehydrated, and I went over to Living Leather, and I was shuffled into the back where a certain somebody had created a cooling system for their water.
Yeah.
And then also shoved a bunch of vitamins at me and was like, mm-hmm. Here, have some electrolytes. Can we get you this?
They're what plants crave.
You look stupid right now. We're going to help fix you. So because of that, also, it was really hilarious last year when when a bunch of people came by to visit Drew on his birthday, and he had had way too much the night before and was not up to speed.
Oh, yeah. I kind of remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Drew because right now I'm thinking about Drew taking care of me and then refusing to allow others to take care of him later. And yeah, I definitely with that.
The irony.
Drew as well.
Yeah. I'll go with Dennis because they were on my D&D squad.
Oh.
Okay. Question number two.
And I love them.
Bing.
Question number two.
Bing. I'm so happy.
Dennis or Drew?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm switching
Drew.
To Dennis on this one.
Yeah.
I think I will... I think I will go with Dennis on this one.
Yeah?
Which one is the bigger asshole? And they provided us with Malort, which
yes,
I will
did.
Never forgive them for.
So no, we won't.
I realize Heather was also possibly a part of this arrangement, but...
Malort poisoning, yeah.
I'm going to blame Dennis.
Fair.
All right. Question number three.
Bing.
Heather or Dennis?
Oh. Swamp donkey.
I'm going to go with Heather on this one.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to find a reason.
Because Heather is the asker, that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go Heather because this is the first time Heather's been presented as an option. So, you know.
That's also a solid choice. Oh.
I don't have a circumstance around it. I basically think of Heather and Dennis as just a smush in general.
Aww.
Well, they are a smush.
They're adorable. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a smush.
So, Heather.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my God, Heather.
Oh, such a good movie. Question number four. Heather or Drew?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Drew because of the three, Drew has not given me Malort.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Of I'm going to say the context is, who would you like to spend a day shopping with?
Hmm.
And I'm really tempted to say Drew, because I feel like Drew would be a fantastic shopping buddy. But I feel like Heather is going to be my answer for that. Because we would do some delightful chit-chatting and all-around good time. Yes.
I'm going to pick Drew for this one because of the third annual Idiot's Quest Epic Fest dad joke experience for Drew was brought in to heckle us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, question number five. Heather, Drew, or Dennis?
What?
I told
you. No.
Hence my reaction at the beginning.
What the shit?
Yeah, exactly. They're starting some shit, and then they're starting some shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna same answer as last time. The one who hasn't given me Malort is Drew.
It's a solid fucking choice.
It really is. I'm gonna say Dennis.
Okay.
I like all three of them in very different, unique ways. And context really matters, and I have none. So I'm just going to go Dennis.
I am going to say Heather for this last one for two reasons.
To round
the
out
first
the
first thing that, well, that, but also because she suffered all of the short jokes in the D&D campaign and put up with us all, which is an act of mercy unparalleled in these dark times.
Yeah,
and
I was
then, right. And then the other thing is that when asked what Malort tastes like, Heather said it tastes like divorce.
Yes.
Which has remained with me low these many year. So yes, that.
Okay.
I agree.
For the first time, we might actually find out who is right and who is dead.
It's James.
Yes, yes, that seems correct.
Second email. Question number one: Dennis or Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck you. Who has better Fast Fives?
Oh, no!
Dennis.
Dennis's have been more plentiful.
Yes. And if Drew wants me, with my brain injury, to remember more of them... Then Drew needs to send in more fucking Fast Fives.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go with Dennis. Take
that. No, scans. I'll switch to Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cricket.
So get on that, Drew. You've got some catching up to do.
Pick it the fuck up, yo.
Tough but fair.
Question number two, Dennis or Drew? Who has better taste in booze?
Oh, Drew.
True.
Wow. No, the thing is, I feel like Dennis might appreciate good booze.
I wouldn't know.
They have shared good booze with us.
They have.
Yes, but the stigma.
Right.
Look, Malort is something you just forget.
No, it isn't. No, as long as you
forever
live.
Forever poisoned in our minds.
Yeah. There will still be Malort in my system when I die.
Ugh, it's oh, formaldehyde. Right. Question number three, Heather or Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Who, oh shit.
Oh God.
Who has better stand-up / comedy chops?
Oh, fuck. I even just referenced Heather's stand-up. Okay.
Full disclosure,
yeah.
I have only seen Dennis do stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, I'm going with Dennis.
Right. Heather did
I have no reference for Heather.
Heather did some at Die Laughing.
Yeah.
But I did not see it.
Mm.
Oh, that's a shame. It was really good. I'm going to go Heather.
Okay. I was busy.
I'm going to say it's a super difficult call, but for the same reason as the Fast Fives, and for one more reason, I'm going with Dennis. They have had more plentiful stand-ups. And I will also say that they had what I believe might be one of the greatest opening lines for a stand-up that I've heard possibly in my life, which is something like, people ask me how I'm doing, and I say, it seems like the Zoloft is working, which is fucking great. And they deliver it so much better than I do. But it was, I was crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So there's that.
All right. Question number four, Heather or Drew, who would you trust to watch children?
Oh, Heather.
I mean,
maybe.
Both. Anna kind of is a big kid, so I might have to go Drew here.
I was gonna say, based on the way that Drew has taken care of me.
Right, Drew has taken care of all of us. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm gonna go Drew.
Yeah.
I think age plays a part in this.
Yeah?
Cause I think like babies, I would probably say Heather, but like older kids, I would go with Drew. So
yeah.
I'm going with my kids. With my kids.
Okay.
I would, for the reasons you said, I would go with Drew, I think.
Yeah, I would trust Drew with your kids.
I would trust Drew with my kids, and he would also be able to keep up with them, I think.
I was about to say, I also think I would trust your kids with Drew.
Yes. No, I think that is more accurately said, because my kids are a handful, and you need somebody who can keep up with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And question number five, Heather, Drew, or Dennis? Trick question, I am the best is Astera. Thank you so very much to Heather for sending in the Fast Five.
All right.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us context. All right, who has a shout out?
I have a shout out. I want to give a shout out to my friend Claire.
Okay.
Also your friend Claire. She invited me to a park hangout social distance thingamajigger, and I did that because I haven't seen people in months outside of my daughter, my boyfriend, and my brother. One of the things that I love about Claire, and I enjoyed hanging out with everybody, but Claire invited me, so she gets the particular shout out. But especially with this group of friends, like, it doesn't matter how much time has passed. There's always just hanging out and acceptance, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes out to everybody that I hung out with on Saturday, but most specifically and especially Claire for inviting me and making me feel welcome all the time.
Woo!
Yeah.
Awesome. That's pretty fucking awesome. Yeah. I am going to give a shout out to Brianna Cecile, friend of the podcast, enemy of the podcast, or friend of the enemy podcast. Yeah, that one. Yep. Brianna Cecile, friend of the enemy podcast, introduced me to a new musical artist, a new pair of comedians, and a new book, which I am now reading, along with Salsa's recommendation of the Cryptonomicon, having finished Jenna's recommendation of Zhereg. I am reading The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, which is great. I'm a little ways into it, and it's already got me well fucking hooked. So, thank you to her for all of that goodness. And I got to sit and have an outdoor, socially distanced knitting with her, and then catch an online concert from our respective homes. And it was lovely. And so, yeah.
All right. I am going to give my shout out to the America the Beautiful Park Pass. It saved us a lot of money on this trip, because what it is it is a pass to all of the national parks and forests in the country.
Wow.
For 1 year.
Dang.
And it's $80. But
that's
for
super
$80,
reasonable.
Yeah, for $80 for 1 year, you get into mm-hmm. all the national parks. Which saved us a lot, because let me see, Badlands was $25 without. Yellowstone, $35.
Mm-hmm.
Teton, $35. Mm-hmm. Little Bighorn, $25. Devil's Tower, $25. We paid for that. You know, we had the pass. We paid $80. We had the pass. We got into all of those places already. You know, we're good. And we've got that pass for another 11 months. So if we want to go up to north to Voyager National Park here in Minnesota mm-hmm. later, we can do that. If we want to go to Isle Royale, you know, on Lake Superior, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're planning on doing the road trip vacation thing and you're planning on seeing a bunch of national parks and stuff like that, holy hell, is this worth it?
Nice.
Really fucking cool. I'm so glad my mother told me about it. It saved us, like I said, a ton of cash. So. Pretty cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who has something to plug?
Not a goddamn thing.
Nothing? Cool. All right. I'm okay with that.
I have...
James, go
there's
ahead.
Convergence is doing an online thing. The convention is taking place virtually, and you will be able to catch panels from many podcast friends and regulars, including a panel that has the participation of Bryn Berryhill for Fanimated, the Fanimated podcast panel. I also helped to contributed to the writing of a quick video from COF to E2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I hope that you are too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. If that is all, does anybody have any closing thoughts before we wrap this shit up?
Bye bye. I love you. Bye bye bye.
All right. If that is the case, then thank you so very much to everyone who has been listening to this podcast and for sticking through the weeks without me.
Ah.
I know it was. I know it was a hardship, but we got through it.
God.
Thank you. Thank you to Heather Zestera for sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.